RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans!
Yes.
So we're going to apologize in advance because we had a little scheduling snafu today. I am rushing off to an undisclosed location, which I'm already now sadly going to be late for because I screwed up myself. And then we were supposed to record at 9, but we had a little miscommunication, and now it's too late, so we're going to do a shorter show, but we're going to get a show in nonetheless because we're troopers.
Yeah, it's a complete miscommunication.
Whoops.
So, but you know, it's been another long week, and I think that we've got a lot done, and we're always having good and you know what, Tracy? It really is. The addition of the Telegram has been a great thing for the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a family in there now.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Seriously.
And there's always chatter.
I wake up in the morning to like 300 messages in there. It's great.
Yeah, there's 1,000 for me the other day.
Well, you're never in there. Do you see the people? There's an inside joke amongst the Telegram room now.
Where's Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I see it. Well, I see it. But I'm there. And usually lurking, I just like to see that everybody's happy and having a good time. But yeah. So I'll try to make more time to hang out over the weekend or something.
So interesting stuff happened yesterday. A couple different things. The first thing I wanted to start out with, though, we could talk about that Biden debacle. Actually, let's just start there because it's on the tip of my tongue. How could they do this to this man?
Oh, they don't care. And I don't know if he, I don't know. It almost seems like a guy, like an indentured servant paying off a debt. He just knows he has to go through with it. But the fact that it's so sloppy there too, that you can see that he clearly had cheat sheets too.
He had papers with pictures on them like a kindergartner.
Pictures with numbers next to them. So he knows what reporters he's going to in which answers correlating to whatever questions he obviously knows is coming.
Yeah. And his answers were scripted as well. And then whenever he started to go off track, he could not hold a thought. He said he was in the Senate 120 years ago. In the middle of the press conference, he just gave up on himself. Did you see that?
Yep. I saw I forget what the phrase he was. It wasn't like a common phrase. He was trying to turn. Okay, play it. He's trying to turn a phrase, and then finally, whatever. And I was saying about this. Let's say this last night on my show. You know, during the George W. Bush years, he would screw up a phrase like, you know, "fool me once, shame on you." But he would at least with his little pea brain fight his way through it and find a way to finish it. This guy just gives up.
Yeah.
So the best way to get something done. If you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway.
Oh, it's so bad.
We're ready to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Okay. Let me see who's next on my sheet here. One of them had an F circled.
Does that mean Fox?
It failed. I don't know. But anybody who did follow-up questions and pushed a little bit, like somebody would ask him about the border and he would start talking about infrastructure and global warming.
Yeah. So there were two theories on that one. People said either number one, he read the wrong answers, or number two, he thought that talking about gun control would be too much of a loser as far as acceptance from the crowd. But this is the thing. They don't care. They don't care about what they think is popular. They just lie about it. In that speech last night, he even said that he enjoys 50% approval ratings from Republican voters.
No, he said Republican voters are so happy with what he's doing, Frank.
Yeah, and he said that he has 50% of them on his side.
That's utter nonsense.
Which would mean that out of the 80 million plus that voted for Donald Trump, we know that there was a lot of first-time voters, a lot of former Democrats in there. How many tens of millions has he converted in the last 2 months in this shit show that we're watching?
I see the opposite, actually. I see people saying, holy crap, what did we do?
But they did, and that's the other part, you know?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're more important.
No.
Your thought is please. More important right now. Go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say that's the other part of the PSYOP. They didn't do anything. You know, there's a lot of people out there who believe that their votes actually put put Joe Biden into the White House. It didn't happen that way. And so I don't know. I'm thinking that it's probably a script reading failure, which is even more concerning to me, Tracy. And I'll tell you why when it comes to infrastructure to answer a question about gun control. It's more concerning to me if it's a script reading failure there, because even if you are following along with the script in a very, very everything in a chronological order, how do you not hear the words coming out of your mouth being completely off topic from the question that was just asked to you?
Because
even if you're following, it's
because you're in an advanced stage or getting into an advanced stage of dementia, and you're trying your very best because you're still aware enough to know that you're on the cusp of failure, and you're trying your very best to keep it together. But I really don't think that this man knows where he is. I really don't.
He said he's running for re-election for the first time. You remember when he said during the fake campaign that he was only a transition president?
Yeah.
Now he floated for the first time. He's going to be running at 82 years old. Can you imagine him at 82? Man.
He really doesn't like Donald Trump.
I don't know.
You could tell that he really doesn't like Donald Trump at all.
Well, yeah. Well, who you think about how jealousy and anger and bitterness drives this entire charade that we're watching right now. Who could ever like Donald Trump just from the standpoint of how easy he made the worst possible situation look? I mean, everybody was out to get him, and still he could stand in front of an entire group gaggle of people who are falling over themselves to try to trip him up and follow him up. Jim Acosta doing his song and dance every day like an idiot. And still, he didn't need a script. He didn't need notes. They wouldn't have complied with him even if he wanted to. So you think about how easy he made an almost impossible job.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you anything. I'm starting to see it already, Frank, that the legacy media is starting to not be able to even for themselves cover him and say that he knows what the hell's going on. I mean, that press conference yesterday was a complete debacle. It was embarrassing. Like, on the world stage, this is what people see as the leader of the most powerful country in the entire world. That's what we're seeing. Joe Biden up there, not even able to answer a question, forgetting his thoughts so badly midstream that he has to just literally say, forget it. I mean, this is what, and the legacy media is having a hard time, or they're setting us up for the inevitable. I don't know how they would be able to get out of the, you know, we didn't know that he was in this. Like, for everybody that talked about the freaking 25th Amendment, for goodness sakes, where are all of you guys right now? This is supposed to be the man with the nuclear codes. This is our country in this guy's hands. Someone said to me yesterday, if this is who is running the country, we're even more screwed than we thought. And I'm like, thank goodness it isn't.
Yeah. No. They are currently wrapping all of the sharp edges of the corners of all of the furniture in the White House in bubble wrap right now. That's what they're doing.
And shame on his wife. Shame on her. Shame on her for going along with this. How could you do this?
You just don't know what's hanging over a person's head, Tracy. Like I said, they could have done. Well, they could have used anybody.
Look, we got the Hunter Biden gun story yesterday. Did you see this?
No, what?
Oh my gosh! So apparently, Hunter Biden had a gun, lied on a form that he had to fill out about it. His girlfriend or wife at the time, whoever she was, got the gun, went behind a high school or right next to a high school, dropped the gun in the garbage, went back to get the gun and it was gone. And the Secret Service was already at the gun shop, you know, where he bought it, trying to get the paperwork so that they'd be able to cover up his mess. And the gun shop wouldn't give it to him, wouldn't give it to the Secret Service. They gave it to the ATF, and it all came out basically in, you know, without getting into details. Obviously, I read the surface level on this story, but basically he didn't disclose certain things that he needed to disclose, got this weapon, and the FBI and the ATF and the Secret Service all covered it up 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. They dump it in a freaking garbage pail near a school, near a school.
Jeez. Okay, well, I didn't know that.
And, you know, I don't know how long the press is really going to be able to keep this up. They are probably wishing, and they're probably, like, so pissed that President Trump is not there anymore. At least they had something entertaining to do. At least they had a president who had the mental capacity of more than a five-year-old.
Yep.
This is, like, ridiculous. Yep.
As much as they said otherwise, yes, you're right.
So Judicial Watch is in court right now, by the way.
Well, tell me about that. And I guess add on to that how Dominion has now upped the standard $1.3 billion lawsuit ante to $1.6 for Fox.
Yeah, because they're more important, Frank.
Okay, so another $0.3 for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just ridiculous. These lawsuits are ridiculous. I have a piece coming out. I'm hoping on Monday or Tuesday that will explain for everybody out there. I was hoping we'd actually have a show on Wednesday, like one of those days where you were like, oh, damn it, I wish we had a show today because I wanted to explain this.
You know, next Friday is my birthday, right?
I do.
And Wednesday is the Wednesday before my birthday.
Yes.
And Monday is the Monday before my birthday.
You know whose birthday it is on Sunday?
Whose?
Will's.
Oh, that's right. But who's on my birthday? Is it your mother?
No, you're the first.
My mother and your mother are on the same birthday. Is that it?
Yeah, probably.
Who links up? December?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that there's somebody was on top of each, you know, the date was on top of the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Will's birthday is on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Will.
I have a huge surprise for him.
Sure you do.
I do. I'll tell everybody what it is after I give it to him.
Okay.
It's a group effort.
That'll be on the special OnlyFans version of Dark to Light. Sign up for the Dark to Light OnlyFans and you'll get to know what surprise Will got.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine we had an OnlyFans?
To be honest, I got in touch with them. I signed up for OnlyFans and I got in touch with them. Their technology engineering media side to see how, if there was a way that the streaming aspect of OnlyFans could be incorporated into Restream, because it came up during a show of mine that it would be so ironic if we all started using, because with all the censorship going on, if we started bringing some of our shows and syndicating there, at least in part, on OnlyFans to see if on a site where people are mostly just flashing their body to everybody for money, would we still get kicked off of there for talking about current events? So
what ended up happening?
And I never got a response. Mm. And that's it. It just died right there.
Well, the motto of your show is
take off your pants.
Take off your pants.
Yeah, you have it. Well, that's just a suggestion on a very comfortable way to enjoy the show. That's all.
Oh, I thought you see all this time I've been like literally saying, well, I can't listen to Frank tonight because I'm in a place where I just cannot take these pants off.
I know. See, you've been missing out.
I know. It's bad news. Oh. So let's quickly, before I get into this whole Sidney Powell thing, talk about what's happening next week. Friday is your birthday, you say.
Yeah.
We will not have a show on Friday.
Why not?
I have business I need to take care of, and I'm taking I need to take some time, and Friday is the day that it's all going down. So since it's your birthday, Frank, and you're going to be alone the whole next week, should we give you off on your birthday, or should I do the podcast with you from the car?
Nah, we'll just take the day off, the hell with it. Because like you said, the whole next week, we're going to have to think of something creative to do if I'm going to man the helm.
Yeah, so Frank's going to man the helm all by himself the week of the, what day? The 5th through the 9th.
Mm-hmm. And just to let everybody know, as a little bit more impetus to get on into that Telegram, the way what we're going to do it on that week from the 5th to the 9th is every day that I do the show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I don't know if I, maybe I get a guest, one of them, and surprise you all or something. But what we're, the way that it's going to run is we're going to do a topic for the audience to chime in on that will be posted prior to every show. And we'll be able to just have an open-ended topic conversation. And I will go through the kinds of responses that we got and hopefully just put together nice little short 30-minute shows to get, in lieu of, you know, taking the whole week off. At least it's something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, we've never done that before. We've never had a week where we haven't had shows.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
So there's that. And also Wednesday of next week, everyone, Wednesday of next week, we will be joined by none other than Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I want to talk to her. And they were kind enough to go ahead and say, yes, we'd love to do the Dark to Light podcast. So that's going to be fantastic.
She's there, and once again, like you're saying, in the absence of Donald Trump, everybody's fiddling for something to do. She's definitely become one of their favorite punching bags.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, she's been, gosh, they said they were going to, I don't understand this. Nancy Pelosi yesterday basically saying, I have the power to seat or not seat anybody who wins an election in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I don't know if she's, I don't know what the hell she's talking about. I have never heard anything like that.
She thinks that she can decide that what the voters have decided is null and void. Is this the like where we're at now, where this is what's openly being discussed?
It would be consistent with the way that they run everything else. I mean, just mentally, it's not, it has anything to do with tradition in this country, but it would be consistent with their mental state.
I mean, she, that is just, I mean, talk about authoritarianism, because they're talking about this seat in Iowa that they want to remove from somebody who was duly elected, sworn in, and took office just because they feel like it. Literally. It's gross. And they were going to do the same thing to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who won by like 70% of the vote or something. That means 70% of the people that voted in her district, or 60%, or with some ridiculous margin.
Yeah.
Wanted her to be their representative. And Nancy Pelosi's going around with people and freaking Congress saying we're gonna unseat Marjorie Taylor Greene because we don't want her there. You're kidding me.
I don't know how they're going to. So they're going to try to. In that respect, of course, they're going to just try to redistrict. So because how the hell are you going to find a candidate that's going to overcome that kind of?
You're not. They just don't want her in there.
Right.
They just don't want her because she. You know what? I know why. And this is my honest belief, because she's one of us. That's why. She's a normal, everyday American. Did you see also, I still haven't gotten to the Sidney Powell stuff, and we're going to have to call it quits in like 15 minutes, not even.
Okay.
Did you see that Jack Flynn and his wife have filed a defamation lawsuit against CNN?
No.
So yesterday, Jack Flynn filed a defamation lawsuit against CNN for labeling them ardent followers of the QAnon conspiracy theory. And basically equating them to domestic terrorists, you know, whatever else they CNN said in this law, in this piece. And then CNN trumpeted that all over the place. But the problem is that they used an edited video to do it. So they edited the video of them taking the pledge or the oath to the Constitution, and they edited out God Bless America and a bunch of the other things that they said in there, to only have it say like at the end, where we go one, we go all.
Mm-hmm.
And try and then make that like the reason why these people. Meanwhile, in the lawsuit, it says that General Flynn said that because it was a very familiar phrase that John F. Kennedy used to say, or was on the bell. I don't even know what they're saying about the one, where we go one, we go all. But it apparently was because it was on this certain bell or something. I don't know.
Listen, it doesn't matter what the origins of anything is. We know the story, all of the parallel stories of the last few years. It didn't matter. There's a lot of people following along with current events, whether they got it from the Chans and whether they got it from, you know, Discord chat rooms and people just talking things out, or if they were piecing things together off of the headlines being published on websites like Drudge Report or Uncover DC, or they're following Brian Cates, or
you're
if they were following
that though, Frank.
If they're following Technofog, or if they're, I mean, there's so many ways to follow along with this, but they had to, they always need to find a weapon. And it doesn't matter where the hell Where We Go One, We Go All came from. It became something that galvanized people and made them feel connected to one another and created a kind of buzz that they cannot generate on the left anymore with any kind of natural means. So it needs to be turned into a black hole of toxicity. They have to do this stuff. So to even pine through people's histories online and movies and the speeches of past presidents just to clear yourself of one conspiracy or another, it doesn't even matter, because wherever you pivot, they're going to be there.
The worst thing is this too. Like, speaking of which, Forbes puts out an article yesterday. Listen to the title of this. It's proving they have no idea what they're talking about. QAnon is hosting a conference at the Omni Dallas Hotel, headlined by Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell.
Who, see, and you want, I saw something else there two nights ago too, when the news of the Suez Canal. I saw a headline, I think from Yahoo or something, saying QAnon is now saying that the Suez Canal is a blah 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 Hillary Clinton trap. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I didn't even really follow this too much, but I know, just like everybody else, there has been no drops. There has been no publishings for months. How is QAnon? Who is so the media is QAnon now?
Yeah.
They make up their own drops. They do their own decodes. They are QAnon. This is all they have. They don't have Trump.
They have nothing. And the whole point of this article that this Suzanne Rowan Kelleher from their travel staff wrote, their travel staff. I write about travel trends and news you can use. Yeah, okay, Suzanne, whatever. The whole point of this was to get this conference booted from this hotel because they can't have people talking about things.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid.
Yeah, it's cringe. It's so cringe that these are people's professions now.
Randy Zadrogny.
The biggest problem that people had with QAnon was the cringe aspect of it. And of course, people said, oh, this is making people complacent. You know, there's been plenty of disagreement on the whole thing within our circles for forever. And it was always had this element of cringe. And yep. Now the media has taken that and made it so much worse, because they're acting like those really unhip middle school dance chaperones that think that they know all the teen slang, and don't worry, boomers, we'll tell you all the things that QAnon are saying now. It's so painful to watch, but people believe it.
Let's talk about Sidney Powell. She filed a motion, her attorneys did, filed a motion in her defamation case. It's a motion for change of venue, a motion to dismiss. And it's 54 pages long. And what the legacy media and the Zoe Tillmans of the world took out of this was that she was telling everybody that no reasonable person would believe the things that she was saying about Dominion. And so because we're still under some spell that the legacy media tells us the truth, a lot of the people out there who have been supportive of Sidney Powell and what she's been doing turned on her in less than 30 seconds with literally no idea what the actual filing was, what it said, how it was worded, what the purpose of it was. They just took what the legacy media said and attacked her for like 48 straight hours. That, before we even get into the substance of what this was all about, when are we going to stop this?
Like, that's a great question.
When are you going to stop assigning power to these idiots who do nothing but lie to you all day long? When?
I don't know.
The legacy media says Sidney Powell lied to all of you, and everybody goes, oh, I hate you. How dare you? You conned us all. Are you kidding me?
I know. And there's got to be a little bit of, there's got to be, what is the very concise reasoning for what they spun on that?
They wanted to make it look like she's admitting she lied to everybody so that she'd fail.
Right. But what was the story behind it? The actual truth of the matter.
The actual truth is this. There's two different things. Number one, what she was saying is that it was legalese and they turned it into something it wasn't. Her statement reads that she, let me just find her statement. Here's what I think it is that she can't say or her attorneys can't say publicly. Okay. It's that if she says, let's just say she says, no reasonable person would believe the things that I was saying. That's the statement, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Dominion now has to argue why reasonable people would believe what she was saying if they want to counter that point. So it does two things. It either makes Dominion argue against itself, explaining why people could possibly think that they'd do something like that. And it also, it puts an arrow into their armor, because if they acquiesce to that, then their case gets super weak. So you don't want, if you're in Dominion's position, you don't want to have to argue against yourself, which is what they'll have to do should they pick up that part of the argument. If they do not pick up that part of the argument, then they're in the position of saying they agree with her. Do you understand what I mean?
A little. But this is why it's been such an effective smear. It's because it's confusing the hell out of people, and all they have to go by is a published statement by Sidney Powell that kind of looks like she's saying only unreasonable people would believe the claims I've made.
No, but even that's incorrect. Even that.
That's how it's playing.
I know.
That's just how it's playing.
You know
what? People.
It sucks. It sucks. You want to know why? Because nobody's going to read the 54-page complaint to know for themselves.
Right.
And nobody is going to understand the technicalities of, you know, how you argue in motions in front of a court to get your way and to put your opponent in a corner. And sometimes those tactics require you to use sort of arguments that aren't necessarily what, you know, the public would want to see. You know, like the public is going to take that and run with it if they're not educated and informed, or they don't do the due diligence to learn for themselves. And they did. And they listened to Zoe Tillman telling everybody, oh, by the way, Sidney Powell saying she lied to all of you. And then the pitchforks came for Sidney Powell. But the way that they frame the argument is not proper. They do not frame the argument properly. It is completely incorrect the way they presented it to the world. And I'm looking through the Telegram room for it, but I can't grab it. Did I take a picture of it? Maybe I have it somewhere else. But basically, they're misconstruing everything. They're misconstruing everything. So
yeah, well, I didn't know. I knew it couldn't have been the whole story, but I also didn't understand it. And so I'm actually glad we're talking about it.
Yeah. Contrary to what the fake news is pushing, Sidney did not claim in court that no reasonable person would believe her claims. The press is using twisted legalese and manipulating the legal standard to confuse the issue, as they've done before in other high-profile cases. Mrs. Powell's statements were legal, she said this, legal opinions that she stands behind, as they were based on sworn affidavits, declarations, expert reports, and documentary evidence. Dominion claims that the evidence Ms. Powell relied upon to assert her claims concerning the lack of election integrity is incredible and not believable. Ms. Powell responded by pointing out that her assertions were her legal opinions based on the evidence she presented to four different courts. Accordingly, her statements are not subject to challenge under defamation law. So what they grabbed out of it was a portion of an argument her attorneys were making to disprove that point. And they seized on that and they ran with it. And it's still complicated, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, for all intents and purposes, the only thing that matters is what happens in this defamation suit. And I want to point out that I did read the 54-page complaint, and three quarters of this complaint is her arguing for a change of venue, not for the lawsuit to be dismissed. She asks for a change of venue, or in the case that a change of venue will not be granted, for you to dismiss this case. She wants it moved to Texas because there's literally no reason why this lawsuit should have been brought in Washington, D.C. at all, other than D.C. has a few judges that if the case lands there, it's a little bit worse. You know, they're tainted. And there's anti-SLAPP in D.C., which is a protection for defamation, for people suing for defamation. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So Yeah, I guess you say there.
Yeah. Anyway, so just before, I just want to say this. You're going to see a lot of things written in the legacy press. They have done nothing but lie to you for years and years and years about literally everything. Everything. Don't take a statement or a story about a person that you have come to know and appreciate, respect, and trust, who is one of the only people left fighting this thing, to be honest. You know, agree with their tactics or not, the woman took a lot on her shoulders to go through all this for everybody, for the country, and to take this on when no one else would do it, and then turn on her in less than an hour, all because the legacy media told you to. It's just asinine.
Oh no, I see, that's the other thing there too. Even in my lack of understanding on this, I would never assume that I was getting the whole story about what this is, just based on the character, her character that we've been able to establish over the, I mean, where's Rudy Giuliani been the last couple of months? You know, what vacation has he taken? I don't know. I haven't heard anything from him. All I know that this woman has been nothing but a rock in all matters, no matter what cause she's picked up. So I've never known her, or anybody has known her, to cower. So even in my lack of understanding, the one thing I never questioned was her character. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it bothers me. Like, do I agree with everything that Sidney Powell has ever posted, said, or done? No, I don't. I think there have been a few things that have gone out that weren't fully vetted or may have had some mistakes or whatever. And that, you know what, in a fast-paced world where you're trying to get information out to people, there's going to be mistakes made. There's just going to be. But what are her motivations? Why is she doing this? Why would you put yourself under this kind of attack? Like, unless you were ridiculously committed and passionate to what the cause was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that. And I think we're going to end there, Frank, because I got to process this whole thing, and we're running a little bit late today. But we'll be back on Monday.
It'll be a fun time.
It will. So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.